Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Comic Book Club. Now please put your hands together for Alex and Pete.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, All-Star Booth.
All-Star Booth.
Oh, gosh, you guys. It is good to be back.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I spent a week on a boat on a Disney cruise line. There was a Star Wars day. There was tons of food, all that I could eat. I was with my loving family. There was no Wi-Fi or phone, so I couldn't read comic books, so it sucked.
Yeah, I bet that had to really... Yeah. Did it, like, really bother you, or could you really just shut it all down and enjoy it?
To be perfectly honest with you, I got, like, phantom pains on my phone.
Yeah?
Yeah, I kept, like, pulling it out of my pocket and being like, oh. Whoa. All right, I guess I'll put that back. Okay, forget about that.
Where did the cruise go? Did it go from New York to Florida?
No, we flew to Port Canaveral in Florida, which is just off Cape Canaveral, where they used to send up the space shuttles back when we did space exploration.
All right.
And then it sailed to Mexico. Mexico, Grand Cayman, and Disney's private island, Castaway Key.
Are you serious? They have
their
own island?
They own an island.
Shut the fuck up. Are you serious?
Yeah, totally.
Is that illegal? Can
they're
an do
evil
that?
Corporation. Of course they have their own island.
Oh, that's fucked up, man. That would, yeah. I would not go on that island.
Yeah, it was weird. They put us in these containment pods where they're like, we're going to suck a little bit of your essence. And I was like, cool.
It's great.
Oh, whatever you
as
guys want.
As long as I get free food afterwards.
Yeah, put it in my gullet.
Oh, my
that's,
God.
That was my catchphrase.
I actually could really see that.
Yeah, pretty much. I ate too much food. It was gross.
You don't look tan or anything.
I mostly stayed inside. but Pete, I heard you had an interesting experience this week. You're a
today.
Big Punisher fan, right?
I'm a huge Punisher fan, so much so that if I see other people rocking Punisher stuff, I get excited and I want to talk to them.
Oh, sure. You want to connect with other fans.
Exactly. I
so
be like,
where
oh,
were you?
God.
You were a comic book store, some sort of a place where it's acceptable to talk about comic books?
I was walking down like Broadway in the Soho area.
Oh, okay. That's a very trendy, fashionable area of New York City.
Yeah. And there was this model-like woman who had a jean
What do you
jacket.
Mean by model-like, real quick?
She was tall, very skinny, like power walking, like very. You looked at, you know, like
what was that?
You know how they walk the runway? They do the kind of.
I think what you're doing is not a model, but an old-timey cartoon businessman.
Okay, all right. Well, I've never walked a runway, so in my mind, it's a cartoon business.
Yeah, in your mind, is the model chomping on a cigar and talking about the teapot dome scandal?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Wrong walk then.
Yeah, exactly. So I had to run to catch up with her because she was going a good clip. She had long legs. And
all right, I just want to stop you because this story has already gotten creepy.
Right, there is a high creep factor.
She was walking too quickly, so you had to catch up to her.
Right, I had to run.
You had to run. So you're a sweaty bearded man in Soho.
Yeah,
chasing after a model type, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Thought was a good idea because I thought like she's so attractive, she won't see.
Wait,
a
did
real
you establish
person.
Why you were chasing after her?
Yeah, she had a on her jean jacket. She painted the back all black and then made her own Punisher skull, but made it kind of like the eyes softer. So it was like a softer Punisher skull?
So wait, I'm sorry. Was it a Punisher skull or was it just a skull?
No, it was a straight up like the stencil.
Okay.
I know a Punisher skull when I see a Punisher skull.
All right.
She just changed the eyes a little bit.
All right. Because if you were chasing after a bottle type all sweaty and bearded and were like, I like your skull.
Yeah, that would be weird.
That would be
weird.
What happened instead?
Yeah, instead, I ran up to her and I was like, hey, I really like your jacket. Did you make that? And she was just looking at me like, who the fuck? So then I thought, like, I'll reach into my pants.
Oh, okay. All right. I just want to stop you because
people... Because I have my Punisher wallet, so I pulled that
right.
out.
Okay, so for those of you listening at home, I know there's a lot of visual stuff going on here. But to describe it to you, basically what Pete did was he ran up to a model on the street, was like, hey, I like your jacket, and then reached into his pocket and started fiddling around in it.
Yeah.
Just fiddling around.
I had to grab my wallet.
Your wallet.
Right.
Right. That's definitely what you thought you were grabbing in your pants.
Yeah, who knows what she was thinking.
Right.
But then I showed her my Punisher wallet, and it was just an awful idea.
What did she say?
She did not engage. There was no engagement on her part. She just looked at me and was like, and walked away. Walked away.
Man, when are you seeing her again?
Well, I figure I'll chase her down tomorrow, you know, because now we have a kind of a bond, a repartee, if you will.
Yeah. If there's one thing I've learned from both musicals and superhero stories, chase her every single day until she gives up.
That's what I'm thinking, because she likes the Punisher symbol, so we're meant to be together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anything that's bound by violence and blood can't possibly be bad.
Exactly.
Well, good luck to you and your new girlfriend. Very exciting. Also very exciting, we have one of our favorite guests back on the show. He is the host of the appropriately named Jeff Rubin podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Rubin!
Yeah! Welcome, sir. Welcome. Hello. Welcome back.
Hi.
Grab
Thanks
a
for
seat.
Coming. Please come. You're over here.
That is your microphone. Yes. Your seat.
Hello,
Jeff. Thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Yeah, anytime.
How's it going?
Great.
Good.
You know, I think last time I was on the show.
Yeah.
Was like the week Daredevil had premiered. Like it had premiered the previous Friday, and we were all like halfway through Daredevil.
Wait, so do you come on the show only when Daredevil premieres?
I was going to ask you guys. You're the ones that asked me on it. Maybe. I mean, it is probably my favorite. I'm so into it, so that'd be like totally okay with
me. I gotta be totally honest with you. Other than the glasses, if there was a superhero you most resemble, it's Charlie Cox.
I actually got that a lot. I'm not making that up. In the people are like listening at home are like Googling me right now and just like, no, he doesn't. Yeah. I don't think I look like Charlie Cox, but I used to have glasses that were rounder and before I moved to Williamsburg and got these square ones.
Uh-huh.
And they did kind of look like him. And so when he wears the glasses that black out his eyes, from certain angles, I do sort of look like Charlie Cox.
Yeah,
though I actually saw him earlier this week like on a panel with some of the other Daredevil cast members, which was great because it completely confirmed that, if like we're next to each other, there is no mistaking me for him.
Did you try to go up to the panel and game to him?
I was just imagining if I went up to him and I was like, people tell me I look like you all the time. Just like how incredulous he would be.
That's
about
a total
that.
Pete model situation.
Yeah, I just didn't think that would fly. But from certain angles, when he's wearing the glasses, and if I'm wearing my old glasses, which is like amazing because like, he's like obviously significantly better looking than I am, so it's like a great thing for me to be.
So were you a fan of the first season?
Oh my god, I loved it so much. And I love Jessica Jones so much, and I'm just like, keep it coming.
Do you like one better now?
I think I probably preferred Daredevil. Like Jessica Jones was maybe a little more ambitious and interesting.
You're hitting me as if that proves that I'm wrong.
It's real. Like I might change my answer tomorrow because I think Jessica Jones was probably a little more interesting and ambitious and unusual. Not that Daredevil did all those things too, but Jessica Jones more so. I kind of thought Jessica Jones like flailed a little in the middle somewhere, you know, because like.
Took way too long.
Yeah, exactly. It felt a little too stretched out. Yeah. So, like, it didn't really come together as a whole.
It's interesting you say that. I mean, I agree with you in a certain aspect, we're not going to fight. That's how I feel about Daredevil. That the first season to me felt like an origin story stretched out over 13 hours.
Yeah.
And you could have condensed it conceivably.
I think the reason it stuck out a little more for me in Jessica Jones is because Jessica Jones is one story, whereas Daredevil's, like, especially at first, is a little more episodic. Yeah. And in Jessica Jones, there were a few cases. I'm thinking of the worst is the scene where she's at the bar and like her roommate's at the bar and someone just like overhears something. There's a few like I cannot believe they're doing this that like feel a little artificial just to stretch it out, which is like really nitpicking. Like which I have to do to decide which one I like better because I enjoyed them both so much.
Yeah, they're so great.
Yeah, and the other thing I remember about the last time I was on the show. Was I asked you two, and Justin was here at the time, I said, which of the upcoming shows are you the most excited about? And all three of you gave three different answers. You went Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage. Mm-hmm. And that's in that moment.
Wait, who said what?
I don't remember who said what, but we go to the tape.
Yeah, I probably said Luke Cage. Justin said Iron Fist.
But in that moment, sounds I realized awesome. Just like how exciting the whole Marvel and Netflix thing was, and that like this was just the start, and that like there were all this variety of still exciting projects kind of coming down the pipeline.
Yeah. Did we talk about maybe I was away for this Finn Jones being cast as Iron Fist?
No. No, yeah. We haven't talked.
What'd you think about it?
Who was Finn Jones? I kind of saw
that. He's Loras on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I don't know.
In the audience, couple.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know the character, but like, he's not in Game of Thrones enough for me to really have a strong affinity for him. Like, sure, I don't know. They seem like they know what they're doing. Like, if they would have told me they got the driver from Boardwalk Empire to be Daredevil, like that doesn't on its face seem like a terrific idea. But yeah, it pretty much works. So I don't really have a strong take on it, but I'm very optimistic based on what I've seen thus far.
Now, I will tell you, and I was going to say this for later, we were going to talk about this later, I have seen the first 7 episodes of Daredevil.
What the fuck, man?
Whoa, sorry, I didn't mean to tip our hand there.
No, that's totally fine.
Okay. I think this happened last time, too. You were ahead of us in Daredevil.
Yeah, I think that happened last time.
I do. Is it good? Is it as good as season 1? That's all I want to know.
I like it better.
Oh, I can't wait.
You like it better?
I cannot wait.
Yeah, I like it better.
I'm so excited
Holy
about
fucking
this.
Shit.
I really enjoy it.
I hope they get, and don't tell
me. I won't
me,
get into any spoilers.
All I want to see is, what's his name? Vincent D'Onofrio as Wilson Fisk for like 1 or 2 episodes. It seems like we're all about Daredevil and Elektra and Punisher now, but I'm hoping we can make just a little time for Kingpin, because I thought he was part of what made that first season so special.
Are you gonna say anything about that?
Do you want me to say anything? What do you want me to say?
No.
What do you want me to say?
Dude, can you
here's the thing. I'm not going to say any spoilers at all, but if you want to ask me a general question.
So, in general, would you say the representation of Wilson Fisk was enjoyable?
In the first season?
No, in the second season.
In the first season, he was my favorite part.
Well, nobody's talking about the first season.
I want to see Vincent D'Onofrio as Wilson Fisk. I want that to be a Spider-Man movie villain, because they're all in the same universe,
right?
And like John I don't know why I'm calling him John. Vincent D'Onofrio is like a movie star. It's not even like that's
I think
like
John was his character in Men in Black or something.
I don't know, but
he was amazing.
It'd be a shame if we didn't see more of him in that role, because it's such a he's one of the key villains of the Marvel universe, right? And it's such a great performance and such a great actor. Like,
so I will say,
okay, I've got a lot of
here
questions.
Comes,
oh,
here
you
comes.
Have a lot of questions. Oh, okay, I'll just answer your questions.
All right, so I do want to hear what you're going to say, though. No. So, Punisher is in there, right?
Do you like Punisher?
Yeah. What the fuck?
Enough
man?
To chase a lady down the street?
Yeah. I did not hurt this lady. All right. There was no.
Nobody said anything about hurting her.
I assumed you didn't hurt her until this moment. Now I'm not so sure.
You made it seem like. I
didn't make it seem like anything. You brought up hurting her.
All right. No, I did. No shit. All right. So.
When did you stop hurting her?
Oh, no, this is not funny. no harm came to anybody. So
Jesus Christ, Pete, what did you do?
Punisher, amazing. Would you say just like the greatest version of Punisher you've ever seen, maybe?
Well, it doesn't take him 45 minutes to pull a shirt out of the sea, so there is that.
Okay.
Is that one of the movies?
Yeah, Thomas Jane Punisher.
I actually am a defender of Thomas Jane Punisher.
Yeah. Hells yes!
I like Thomas Jane Punisher
a lot.
I like that movie a lot.
Yes!
Which is not a reasonable point. Sorry, not a reasonable point of view to hold, but God damn it, I do.
Yeah.
And you know what's weird is some people defend Warzone, which I've also saw and I thought was terrible. I'm like,
horrible.
You're defending one of these two bad Punisher movies is actually good, and you picked the wrong one.
Yeah, what about the Dolph Lundgren one?
The Dolph Lundgren one I have also seen. I was much younger at the time.
Yeah, I've seen it later as well.
How would you say Barenthal compares to Lundgren? Is Barenthal how you say his name?
Bernthal?
Bernthal? The actor playing the
really
new Punisher.
That's really tough. I mean, if you're talking Universal Soldier, Bernthal wasn't in it, so I'd have to give Lundgren the edge.
Right.
But in terms of Punisher, he's better.
All right. So, like...
Yeah. I thought he was great.
You thought he was great.
I really, really liked him a lot.
Were you saying he's great because, like, you don't really like Punishers, so you don't really care, so, like...
No, I thought it was
really
good Punisher.
Do you think, like, a real Punisher fan would be like, this is great, or would
be
a real...
I'm going to be 100% honest with you, and this goes for Elektra as well. I have no idea what the fuck you're going to think.
And that's not good!
I like how your question was a real Punisher fan, and Alex... correctly interpreted that as you were asking about yourself.
Yeah. he speaks. Yeah, right. He translates
because here's
for
the
me
thing.
A lot.
I liked it. I thought it was great. I thought the arc was great. I thought everything going on with John Bernthal was great. There were certain angles he was shot at where he looks like a Steve Dillon drawing come to life.
Wow.
And it's amazing. But you always pick the weirdest goddamn things to be annoyed about.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that thing is going to be that you're going to come in. Next Tuesday after the show, I'd be like, what the fuck? Punisher ate a cheeseburger. He never eats cheeseburgers in the comics. It was a piece of shit. So I don't know.
That's a good impression of me. Yeah, it's a solid. I also like how you kind of lost your breath in the middle of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
did I get red enough?
Yeah, you did actually. That was very enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's weird to see myself. All right. So Elektra,
I loved Elektra too. I think she's fantastic in this first couple of episodes.
Okay.
Yeah, she's great. I thought the one thing that I will say, and again, without getting into spoilers,
please,
it's. Oh. She is a different sort of Elektra than I think we're used to in the comics.
Okay. That's okay.
But
That's
okay. Regardless of who she is or what she's connected to, I really like the way Elodie Young plays her. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really good, very engaging character. And this isn't saying too much, but good foil for Matt.
Yeah, how is their relationship? Like, how were you like, oh,
it's
my
great.
God. Yeah.
It's great.
Oh. Oh man, Jesus. I can't wait to watch this.
I can't. I'm like, yeah.
I think Elektra is the only major superhero movie that I have not seen. I just admitted to seeing the Dolph Lundgren Punisher. Just
you
to give you an
seen
idea of
that
the
movie?
Death. I have not seen Elektra. I've seen Daredevil, which I also I gotta admit I a little bit defend that Ben Affleck Daredevil
did
movie
you,
sometimes.
Did you see the extended version?
You know, I haven't because I've seen the non-extended version like two or three times.
Oh, I'm
so then, when
sorry.
The extended one came out, I was like, no, I've done my time with Daredevil here.
Yeah, Elektra is bad. But it's not as bad as Catwoman.
I believe that. Catwoman is truly horrendous.
Yeah.
Catwoman is truly horrendous.
The worst.
The David Hasselhoff Nick Fury movie is better than Catwoman. I'm not even kidding. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. So yeah, it's really good. Are they mean to Foggy?
Are they mean to Foggy? I love that question.
Mean to Foggy?
I will also say, without getting into spoilers, I did not like Foggy at all in the first season.
Right.
I thought it was
Well,
super
you can talk about why didn't you like him in the first season. We all saw the first season. You can tell us why
I
didn't like him
in
the first season.
I didn't like him in the first season. I thought, I didn't like how Eldon Henson played him. I felt like it felt very stilted, very surfacey. I agree with Justin on this. I think that he wasn't particularly funny, and I didn't get any sort of connection between him and
what
Matt.
What about the fucking baseball bat scene? That was fucking awesome.
One scene out of 13 episodes is not that much. Also, I don't remember what you're talking about.
No,
I don't remember either.
I didn't like him at all. I love him in the second season.
Oh, holy shit.
I really do. I think they took some time to think about the characters, really develop relationships. For me,
I think I'm going to hate this fucking
You probably are.
Oh, Jesus.
That's
oh,
funny.
No.
It's, to me, this is more like what I want out of Daredevil in the second season. What are you afraid of?
That sucks.
What are you afraid of?
You have horrible taste. A lot of the time, you have horrible taste.
A lot of the time, I have horrible taste.
Yeah.
I have better taste than you is what I want to say. But
that might be
different
true.
Taste.
That might be, yeah,
different taste. We
different
like different
taste.
Things.
Yeah,
like,
we do.
What do you want out of Daredevil? What are your core values for Daredevil?
Well, I think in this, the first season, they really did an amazing job with making him just a bat, like, throws a guy off the roof. Amazing.
So for you,
then there was scenes where it was like one track fight sequences that were just like mind blowing the way they had it all in one shot of like, do you know what I'm talking about? Where they were like going in between hallways and just like guys were getting thrown around. It was
the hallway scene for the second
episode.
Yeah.
It was just like, they spent time thinking about the fight choreography and the action sequences. And really
but that's not what I'm asking. What I'm asking is to you, who is Daredevil?
That's what
Daredevil is a fight scene in a hallway and throwing a guy off a roof?
Yes, that's exactly right. And he can't see, yet he does all that.
All right, I can't guarantee you they're going to remake those two scenes in the second season.
I hate the second season then.
You know what's weird? Zero fight scenes. Daredevil season 2. Yeah. There's no fight scenes. Yeah, him and Elektra spar with words.
Yeah. I'm going to pull people up on a roof. What for you, who is Daredevil? What
you know,
do you want to
I don't know. I have read some Daredevil, but I don't have I don't have a take on like what I need to see in Daredevil season 2 for it to be Daredevil. I guess what I appreciated about the first one and what I'd like to see extended is sort of like the like a grittier, and this sort of gets to the violence that Pete was alluding to, like the grittiness of it, because it wasn't just that fight scene. Like I also think of Wilson Fisk slamming that dude's head in the door,
right?
And also the fight scene with Stick was really cool.
Yes,
and so like obviously those are cool fight scenes, but even beyond the fight scenes, it was just like grittier, you know, like it was obvious. It's obviously like a different flavor than Captain America or the Avengers or any of the movies that they're going to release in theaters. Cause it's like, you know, it's home. So I'd like to see them I'd like to see them continue in that direction of doing, just taking their own track from the movies. And I guess pushing in that grittiness direction, just cause I feel like it separates it. The Netflix stuff, it just makes it feel a part of the overall Marvel universe, but also makes it like different enough that it doesn't just feel like direct to video movies. Exactly. You know, like it feels its existence is warranted. And honestly, I think I might like them more than the movies. Like I kind of find them more like satisfying. And that's a big compliment because let me tell you, I love those movies. Like I bought Civil War tickets already. I'm like all about those movies. So I mean that is a very great compliment.
Yeah, I agree. Like I love also with the grittiness the powerful moments are that much better because it goes from such a super violent to then the moments where he's just staring at that all white painting and like
painting.
My God.
So here's my Matt Murdock. Here's what I like out of Daredevil is I like that. I like that grittiness and that darkness that constantly pulls him down. But I think an aspect of the character that was missing in the first season is that he smiles sometimes and he laughs. And the worse things get, the more he pushes and the more frantic he gets with his jokes and pulling on his friendships until he breaks completely. That's what I feel like always happens with Daredevil.
Spoiler, Jesus, you just gave away a lot of shit.
No, I'm not saying that. I did not. I'm saying that to me in the comics, that's how I feel about Daredevil, is that when he falls in love, he falls in love completely and he romances this person and then he gets pushed to the edge and pulled in so many directions and then he loses that person and he's pushed himself so far that he breaks into a million pieces and then he has to build himself back up again. What I think we saw in the first season is just that gritty darkness. We saw him already there in that murk the entire time and he had to get out of that, put on that costume to get to the point where he was up so we can see him knocked back down again.
Holy shit, now I'm fucking so scared.
Yeah. You know what else is coming to Netflix on Friday? The new Pee-wee movie.
It is.
And I honestly don't know what I'm going to do first. I'm going to watch that new Daredevil or the new Pee-wee.
Interspersed.
I'm just going to have to like get home from work on Friday and like make a decision. I've been thinking about this for weeks. I do not know where I'm going first.
Well, I would say this is my recommendation. Pee-wee first. Watch Pee-wee first because it's a limited thing.
Hour and a half, 2 hours. Want to break up the Daredevil.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then you could just watch Daredevil for 13 hours straight.
So
I'm definitely going to binge watch the shit out of Daredevil. Like, it's going to be...
I'll tell you one of my favorite parts of the first 7 episodes. This total spoiler. The first 3 episodes are less than 50 minutes long, which was really nice.
Less than 50?
50. Less than, they were like 45 minutes long.
Wait, why is that exciting? Less Daredevil is
better?
Well,
because the episodes last season were so long sometimes. They were like 1 hour and 6 minutes long.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, 45 minutes is a more reasonable amount of television to watch.
I really appreciate brevity.
That's because you have kids crawling all over you. You only have a certain amount of time.
Like, hey, I got to watch Daredevil kick the shit out of somebody. Can you leave me alone right now?
Yeah.
Daughter.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I don't know their names yet.
All right, well, I don't want to see the second season after your review.
I'm glad I turned you against it. Yeah. All right, Jeff,
what's up?
Anything you want to plug?
My podcast, the Jeff Rubin Show. I'm always happy to talk about the Jeff Rubin Show. JeffRubinJeffRubinShow.com.
All right, very cool. I think we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah, The Stack.
And in The Stack, we're going to talk about a couple of books that came out this week. Let's kick it off with this one. Doctor Strange, number 6 from Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
So, Pete, you've been really enjoying this series. Oh, what's going on?
Well, first off, I love the pairing that Marvel did on this book with the writing and the artistry, just because the artist is such a, it's a cartoony, kind of magical, creative.
It's Chris Bachalo, right?
Yeah, and it's just done in such a way that, like, it's a perfect fit for Doctor Strange. Like, his world, the way he sees things, it's just, it fits so nicely.
Real quick, just a plot thing for those who haven't been reading it.
Right.
Doctor Strange is fighting these beings who are destroying all magic in the world. Essentially, they have a religious jihad against magic.
Yeah, which we don't find out till this episode. We just know somebody's attacking.
They're called issues.
Yeah.
Pete. In comics. Episodes are on TV.
Wow. Okay. Sorry, I misspoke.
Yeah, it's all right.
Anyways, in this issue, we find out what the bad guys are about. All we know is, like, magic's disappearing, chaos, a lot of people that Doctor Strange knows are disappearing, and we finally get this. Like, this is an intense issue. And it's just one of those classic things that I fall for all the time in comics where I'm just like, oh, man, no way out of this one. There's just no way. I mean, I don't think Doctor Strange is going to make it out of this.
Yep.
And it's heartbreaking to see. It's amazing the fight that he puts up, but just heartbreaking the way it kind of goes down.
It is great. It's this book. Exactly what you said. Jeff, I'm curious, though. You jumped in on this issue?
Yeah, I did. This is, I think, the first Doctor Strange comic book I've ever read in my life.
Oh, really? Welcome.
So I feel like I got to mention this every time on the show. Like, I read comic books. I buy many a year, but I'm not, like, picking them up every week. And I've never read a Doctor Strange comic book. But, you know, I'm familiar. You know, I know the shtick, and I'm excited about the movie. As I alluded to earlier, I'm basically just eating whatever they put out right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I had a little trouble following it, but I thought what was really cool was, I guess I don't want to spoil it, but there's a few pages that kind of are disconnected from the main action and like sort of, and I thought that was a really interesting, I really enjoyed those pages because they kind of showed the implication for the story beyond for the characters some unexpected and interesting and cool. And they're almost like shorts. It's just like, there's these little vignettes that are almost like each like a little short story. And I thought that was really efficient and cool storytelling.
Yeah. Totally agree. If you did pick up the book, remember to read past the letters page.
Right.
Which seems a little ridiculous, but I think there's an ad right after it. So initially I wasn't flipping any further, and then I kept looking and thought, oh, right. Okay, so it's a good book.
It's been an amazing series, and I can't wait to see how it unfolds.
All right, cool. Let's move on to our next pick, Ms. Marvel, number 5, also from Marvel Comics.
Sure.
I love this book. The art is great. The writing is great. It's just so much fun. Ms. Marvel is dealing with an insane multiplicity type scenario where she decided to create a couple of clones of herself to take care of all the things that she needed to take care of, and now they're out of control and essentially eating Jersey City, where she lives. Mm-hmm. This issue in particular is really funny. There's a couple of incidents that happen with the clones that are totally horrifying.
Yeah. Horrifying.
Horrifying.
That's why I couldn't believe you started by saying it was funny.
But funny at the same time.
Well,
they're not happening to me.
Right, but it's, I mean, can you imagine being that?
It's horrifying if it happens to you.
Well,
it's funny if it happens to me.
You imagine being your family sitting around a table, and all of a sudden your daughter just melts?
I mean,
that's fucking
scary. If my daughter melted, I would scream and cry and call the hospital and maybe the cops or something like that. But reading it in a comic book, I feel like I could process it in a different way.
It's sort of played for laughs, too. I'm actually looking at the page right now, and like she's got like the melting thing. It's like a real funny, goofy look. And everyone says in one word bubble with like the points going to everyone. Yeah. So like I thought that, I mean, I read it as funny. I mean, it's like I like this, and this is also my first Ms. Marvel, my first adventure to Ms. Marvel. So breaking all sorts of new ground today. But yeah, I thought that was kind of what was it was almost like it felt like a teen comedy kind of. You know, it's like she's a teen, she's got to be in multiple places at once. Like her parents want her to do, you know, like it felt and that was cool and pretty fresh. I don't know that I've like really seen a lot of that and mixed as well with superhero, like, phantasmical stuff as it was.
Yeah, I keep thinking while reading this arc in particular, it's such a nice, simple metaphor that's played so well, played for laughs like you're talking about, but also played emotionally. It's fun, and it's heartfelt, and it's everything you want out of a teen superhero comic.
Yeah, I mean, they're just killing it.
Cool. Yeah, you know why it's funny? I think because the stakes are low. It's not like the thing melts and like the world's going to explode.
Right,
it's like,
exactly.
So it's like the parents are upset, which is like, you know, happens all the time when you're a teenager.
Yeah, the stakes are big for her, and that's why you care.
Right.
Cool, let's move on with one of Peek's picks, Headlopper.
Now, just like you said with the last one, this is just a fun book. It's just such a fun, great book that I love so much.
Sure. So what is Headlopper up to in this issue?
It's not overly complicated. Like, you get it just by the title.
So what is he doing?
He's lopping heads.
Oh, okay.
Great name.
Lopping heads.
Great lopper. What a great verb. An underused verb. Can you lop anything besides a head?
I don't know.
Maybe a piece of bread or something like that.
Oh,
bread lopper?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably not. I feel like you need something that has a piece that's easily separated from it to be a lopper.
I keep thinking you're going to say whopper. Anyways, this book is just a great adventure story about kind of this Conan the Barbarian type dude who has a giant beard and he carries a magical head with him. And he's just trying to lop heads and save the day. And it's just
trying to lop heads and save the day.
It's a fantastic, just a regular simple, old dude. Just great story. And also real fun moment where the witch's head is on a table next to a skull. And like she's trying to engage in a conversation. And it's very funny.
So in this scenario, I just want to make sure.
Oh, God.
You're the witch's head and that girl is the skull, right? And you're just trying to make conversation.
Just trying to make conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was exactly like the skull. She didn't say anything. She didn't address me. There was no... It's like I wasn't even there.
How would you guys... I was really struck by the art of this book, which is pretty unusual. Mm-hmm. And it kind of looked to me... And this is going to sound insulting, even though I like the art. It kind of looked like a really good version of, like... You know when they do comics that are not in the main continuity, but in the cartoon continuity? Yeah. Like, the Batman, the animated series, the comic. Mm-hmm. And, like, kind of like tie-in comics that are a little maybe cheaper because they're a little simpler or flatter. It kind of looks like that. They're like... It's obviously not done to be cheap or lazy. It's done to great effect by a great artist. So I'm just curious, like, how would you, for those that are not sitting with the book in their lap right now, how would you describe the art? Like, what is it that makes it cool?
It reminds me a little bit of kind of like an Adventure Time type of...
Yeah, Adventure Time came to mind, yeah.
Yeah, I could see
feeling,
that.
Plus, I feel like when a comic is this violent, having it have a cartoony feel kind of helps.
It actually reminds me a little more of Mike Mignola.
Totally.
Or maybe Gabriel Moon, Fabio Moon, Gabriel Ba.
Yep.
A little bit. But yeah, I could see that. I mean, they all have a very minimalist style with really thick lines, which makes it seem a little more cartoony, I think. This is Mike Spicer on colors. Andrew McLean is the writer and artist, by the way.
Did you enjoy it?
I liked it.
It's fun. Great.
It's good.
Totally in sync on that one.
What?
We were just totally we both interpreted that question as for us and like had the same answer. We were like, yeah, it's good.
Yeah. There you go. Cool. All new Wolverine, number 6.
Yeah.
Also from Marvel Comics. Pete, what do you think?
I mean, this is, I've said this before, like I was all ready to hate this, but I've really
Why were you ready to hate this?
Because Wolverine's not in it.
All right.
But
X-23 is Wolverine now.
Yeah.
Because Wolverine is dead.
Fuck you for saying that.
Sorry.
God damn it, you're an
forever.
Asshole. No, not forever.
No, it's like the thing with Doctor Strange where he lost all of his magic. It's forever.
No, don't. No. We don't know if that's true. That's why it's a fucked up joke. Can you imagine if, like, before the movie, they just killed off Doctor Strange and didn't bring him back?
Yeah. Sure.
That would be so fucked
up.
They
could do that.
No, that would be the dumbest thing to do.
Didn't that happen before some movie? Am I imagining that?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I mean, it happens a lot. I feel like it happens with, maybe it was like a TV show. I kind of do remember that. Well, in general, like I feel like they're sort of out of sync sometimes with the comics, right?
Yeah.
You wrote this whole thing about it, didn't you?
I did.
And I thought that's probably where I formed that opinion, reading your piece.
But I did want to say, though, that like, it says something so much about the writing and the art that if you kind of go into something with your arms crossed, like, fuck you, and it still wins you over, I mean, that's very impressive. This comic does such a great job of having X-23 be her own Wolverine without trying to just, you know, fake being Wolverine. It's great. It's a different take that is done, I think, in a way that just makes it seem true in its own self, even though she's kind of wearing the mantle. And it's very, very enjoyable.
I love David Lopez's art on this book so much. I'm a huge fan anyway, but it's just gorgeous. The way that he draws X-23, the way that he draws these different clones that are essentially different, it's great.
Although
and the action is excellent.
When the kind of end panel happened, part of me was like, Wolverine might have probably killed that guy.
What?
At the end of the comic, they maybe... I don't want to... Now I'm going to spoil it, but...
Oh, that she doesn't kill the bad guy? Right. You're saying you wish she killed him because Wolverine would have killed him?
No, I just thought, though, that I was like, Wolverine probably would have killed him.
I think that was the point, though, right? That, like, she's not Wolverine.
Right. She's the all-new Wolverine.
That seemed like the point of the story, yeah.
I'm saying I enjoyed it, but yeah, I don't know that you have to.
That doesn't mean you have to like the story. I just think that was like, you know, a feature and not a bug, as they say.
Yeah. All right, cool. That's it for the stack.
Yay.
Okay, guys, it's time for our next section. I get to come out to you for the audience questions.
The lovely audience. Woo!
Amazing. So if you have a question about absolutely anything, just ask it, and I'm going to give you some free comics. Who has a question? Anybody?
Anyone in the audience?
Absolutely anything.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You, sir. Here, come on up. This is as far as I can stretch the mic. What's your name and what's your question?
My name is Jordan.
Hi, Jordan.
What's your question?
What character who has never had a movie or a TV show would you like to have a TV show? What kind of character?
Oh. All right.
Green Lantern?
Yeah, good one. I'm going to say Concrete.
Oh, Concrete. Wow. Great answer. Good. Jesus. I'm not going to beat that.
No, that is a really good answer. Character that's never had a TV show or movie. I was talking with some people online about this. I mean, I know technically there was a TV movie, but Power Pack, it's crazy to me that, I mean, not that there was anything wrong with Big Hero 6. It was great. But it's crazy to me that they went Big Hero 6 before they went Power Pack.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Or just a Saturday morning cartoon or anything.
Yeah, you're right. I'd be surprised if they don't get to that one soon. I don't know that I have a great answer for this.
I think Green Lantern was a pretty good answer.
Yeah, I'll go with Green Lantern.
Yeah, I think that's fine. No, but there was that whole thing the other day that I thought was so strange where they were talking about the DC slate. Everybody expected that Green Lantern was maybe going to be teased in Batman v Superman, but definitely show up in Justice League. Turns out Green Lantern might show up in Justice League Part 2, but
I hope
maybe
they don't.
But maybe not.
Just because it kind of, to me, acknowledges that DC realizes how bad that movie was.
But, okay, here's my question.
Oh, I got one. I came up with one. Oh, I can't think of the name, though. Keep talking. Keep talking. It's by Ed Brubaker, and there's... Is it
Criminal?
There's a Sleeper. Sleeper.
Oh, Sleeper.
Sleeper
oh,
should yeah, be a movie. Sleeper should be a movie. Yep. All right, that's my answer. That's my real answer.
Well, my question is them saying, oh, now Green Lantern may not show up until Justice League Part 2. Do you feel like they're backing off a little bit from their whole slate? Because they came out of the gate saying, we're going to do 10 movies. This is how we're laying them out. This is exactly how it's going to happen.
That's a good question. I think we're going to know. I think they're probably waiting, and we'll probably know it a lot more like in 3 weeks. You know, I think we're going to get a lot of data from that Batman vs. Superman release. And I think that I think they'll sort of make a stay or go decision. Like, you know, I think that if that does well, like, they'll probably, you know, stay the course. But I can imagine that movie, can't imagine it, like, outright bombing. Like, people are going to go see it.
No, I mean...
But I can imagine it being soft enough, kind of like Spider-Man 2, which, the Amazing Spider-Man 2, which didn't, like, bomb. Like, it made, like, probably $200 or $300 million. But it was sort of seen as a disappointment. I could...
Yeah,
kind of see
it. Might not make that Deadpool money.
Yeah, I could see it making less. Not. Yeah,
I can't believe I'm saying
that's,
that.
That's not impossible. It might make less. I could imagine a world where
it's
going to
make that Deadpool money. But I agree with you about the Amazing Spider-Man 2 comparison.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy that we're talking about these figures, but it might not crack that billion mark, which I feel like is their threshold.
Like, if it makes as much money as Deadpool, that's a colossal failure, because Deadpool was, like, kind of a lark, whereas this is, like, you know, the thing they've sort of
much
built.
Much cheaper.
Yeah, and whereas, cheaper, obviously it's cheaper, but this, Batman vs. Superman, like, they've literally built, like, a decade of future movies.
It's got to do amazing. I mean, it's
going to do well.
Superman versus Batman.
Of course. And we talked about this before, but they're already filming Wonder Woman, so that's happening. Suicide Squad is definitely coming out this year. Yeah,
It'd be funny if it did so bad they were just like, we're not even going to finish post-production on Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
we're going home.
Yeah. So both of those are going to happen, and I feel pretty confident that they're going to start filming Justice League Part 1.
I thought they did. I don't know.
They're going to start filming it very soon. Yeah, I think they're waiting until afterwards just in case.
Yeah, exactly. They're waiting like 3 weeks from now. They'll start shooting it.
If it does really well, but not fantastically, I could see them fast-tracking a Ben Affleck Batman movie and then maybe eventually scuttling the whole thing. But if it does excellently, we're going to see them continue with the plan. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah. I wonder what they would consider excellent, because the numbers are skewed and, like, it has different expectations than even other blockbuster movies, you know? Like, it's got to be, like,
Avengers level.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, it has to be what, like, I think anything less than the top 10 grossing movies, not that anyone, like, they won't say this, but I think, like, outside of the top 10 grossing movies all the time is probably a disappointment, which is insane, but, like, I think that's where it is. Maybe top 20 grossing movies of all time, but, like, I think that is where the expectations are.
I think it's as far as I've heard, it's doing better now. It's actually outpacing both Deadpool and Avengers in terms of pre-sales on certain sites. But at the same time, the early tracking had it about the same as Deadpool, which would be a huge disappointment.
You're saying in terms of box office?
In terms of box office.
Yeah, I mean,
that it would still doing well.
Deadpool's still doing well because it's a good movie, so it has legs.
Yeah, Avengers and Deadpool, everyone, like, were both very extremely well-received, you know? Yeah. And so it'll be interesting to see if they can... I mean, those movies, like, really have, like, very passionate, obviously, very passionate fan bases.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see if they can, I don't know, nail that. It's crazy that I can imagine... It's so not hard to imagine the Deadpool movie being bigger than Batman vs. Superman. It's so funny.
I think there's a world where Suicide Squad is going to be bigger
than Batman that's possible. Superman.
I think that's going to surprise a lot of people. I mean, this gets into your hardcore knowledge world a little bit, but I think there's such a pent-up desire to see Harley Quinn based on the Arkham games in particular that I think people are going to go nuts for it.
Also, just like the thing about Suicide Squad that makes it a little more interesting, it's like it's the first one that's villains because they canceled that Sinister Six movie. So like that alone, it's just like, and it's like we were saying with Daredevil, like it's gritty, like there's so many of these, and I do love them, but if you can just differentiate yourself in some way, just even something little, like which I think Deadpool did really well. Like, that was unlike other superhero movies.
Yeah.
I think that
right
really
from the
will
beginning.
Help. Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to be a total dick about this, but what do you think the thing that made both Deadpool and Avengers work, we talked about this, is they were excellent movies, and because of that, there was a lot of repeat business. People kept coming back. People kept being interested. What do you think the chances are that Batman v Superman is actually that good?
It can't be.
Yeah, sort of the nerd hive mind has decided that it's not going to, it doesn't look very good, which is an opinion I agree with as part of that nerd hive mind. It really doesn't look very good. I don't like to judge a movie before it's out, you know, and like, I don't, I'm going to see it. I bought tickets. I'm going to see it, but like, I wouldn't say I'm especially optimistic. I also didn't like Man of Steel very much, you know?
So yeah.
That doesn't help.
Bad. That's true.
That was bad.
That's a bad movie.
Cool. Great question. Do we have any other questions? You, sir, right over there. Here, come on up. What's your name, sir, and what's your question?
I'm Nick. And
hey, Nick.
Hi, Nick.
And I was wondering, what kind of form do you think, if they ever made a movie or TV series or whatever about Squirrel Girl, what kind of form would it? Do you think it would take?
Adult Swim show?
That's pretty good. I was going to say multi-platform interconnected series universe of films.
Transmedia experience.
Transmedia experience. VR experience.
I think it'd be cool if I jumped to Adult Swim because I think it'd be cool if it was done by like some crazy animator and, you know, like just didn't make, you know, I want to give permission to just like go off the goddamn wall. Right. Yeah. I've actually never seen the Axe Cop show, but sure. That's what I imagined it'd be like.
Yeah. I would say
I love the comic.
Kind of like a Scott Pilgrim type movie where it's, you know, cute, adorable, plays up, you know, like the effects and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Who would you want to see play Squirrel Girl?
I don't know if I can name like three teenage actresses, to be perfectly honest. Yeah. So I don't know.
This is your kind of expertise. I don't know.
This is my expertise. Yeah. I've seen a lot of people say Kristen Schaal, which would be pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be, wow.
That would be cool. We were just stunned on stage by that for a moment. I'm just impressed.
My mind was just like blown.
I think that's the cool thing about Squirrel Girl is it'd be a great opportunity for some hilarious actress like Kristen Schaal.
Yeah.
Cool. There you go. We solved it. Cool. I think we had one last question over there. Can you come up, sir? Because this mic is very short today. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, it's Rolando.
Hey, Rolando.
Hey, Rolando.
You say that as if we knew you. You're an entirely new person at the show.
Completely new. Different Rolando before. Yeah. Loved your Pete imitation. So now here's my question. Can you guys give me your Justin imitations?
Wow.
That's a good question.
Here's my Justin impersonation. Hey, guys, as you know, even though I never told you before, I'm not going to be at the show. What's your speed?
I'm a classically trained actor, talk really fast, blah, 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 blah. I don't know, I'm smart. That was my...
That's pretty good. I'm going to abstain from this one. I don't know that I have a Justin impression.
I think that's okay. Yeah. All right, thank you, Rolando. That was a great question.
Yeah. Can you do a Justin impression?
Yeah, can you do one? Well, it's his first time at the show.
Yeah,
so.
Maybe.
I thought Pete's really was passable, though. I detected some Justin. I recognize elements of Justin in Pete's impression, I got to say.
Thank you.
Wait, let me see if I can do his laugh. All right, that's it for your audience questions.
Yay.
All right, guys. Very quickly, we're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
And to the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some movie and TV topics.
Oh, good. We haven't done that yet today.
Yeah, we haven't done that yet. So we're really going to get into it.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, we do really talk about comics. It's just been a very movie, TV heavy show. That's okay though. Last Thursday, new Civil War trailer. Big stuff going down.
Oh man!
Down in.
Oh man!
Did you watch this, Jeff?
Yeah, I watched it.
I actually was not. Did you like lose your shit? Like, what happened?
I was not going to watch it because once I've decided to see a movie, I don't like to watch the trailers anymore. Right. But then I heard Spider-Man was in. I was like, what am I going to not watch this? Am I going to not see this? I mean, it looks awesome. I already said I want to go see it. It looks totally great. I mean, I like rewound and watched the 5 seconds where the two groups are running at each other. Like, and I'm sure I'm not the only person in this room, but multiple times. Just on my first, I mean, I can't fucking wait to see this movie.
Yeah. I couldn't believe how fucking much I lost it. And I was at work. I was like, holy shit. Like, it was... My mind was just completely blown. Like, I knew it was coming, and then when it happened, I just was like a little boy. Like, just like, holy, this was like the greatest thing. Like, all of a sudden, I was introduced to chocolate milk for the first time ever.
So that seems like something that seems like the thing to talk about, right? Is that, like, you know, Spider-Man is in it. What do you guys think of that interpretation of Spider-Man, like that costume?
That's fine. It was 1 second, so.
But, you know, did you see the costume, right?
Yeah, it was like, a completely different costume, completely different look.
I don't know. I feel like we've
seen... Why the fuck are you so calm about this? This is huge.
Yeah, you seem very nice.
Spider-Man is back in the Marvel Universe.
No, I know, but okay, so here, I was away without Wi-Fi, without internet, without anything like that. So I logged back on. So I'm a jaded prick. I logged back on, and I was like, oh, what did I miss? And immediately the first thing that popped up was like, here's a picture of Spider-Man in the Civil War trailer, because it had been 4 days later or something like that.
I saw the picture, like, I saw it when it was a minute old. Like, that's how I learned it was up. It was like, look at this, now go watch the trailer. Like, it was almost spoiled if you can spoil a trailer.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
And we've known for so long that Spider-Man is going to be in it. It was great. It was fun, but I want to see it in the movie. I want to freak out about it in the movie.
Yeah, I actually wish they had included it. I wish I wish it was sort of revealed in the movie, just because, I mean...
So I was also thinking about your point about the trailers and not wanting to watch them because they spoil the movie, and I definitely felt that after this trailer where it was so good, and I have gotten choked up at both trailers because of the emotional resonance of the characters, which is insane. But I started to feel like, oh, I've seen so much of this movie. But then I thought back to Winter Soldier, where we also felt like, oh my God, we've seen all three acts of this movie.
Right.
We had seen nothing of that movie. We had no idea what was coming in that movie.
No, I actually think they've done a pretty good job with Civil War. Whoever is putting together the trailers. I've been looking for a trailer editor for my podcast. If anyone's listening to this and cuts trailers and wants to be on a podcast, get in touch. And they've done a pretty good job, actually. Like, I see the captain. I have a sense of what it's going to be about, but I actually don't have a sense of the details. The comparison, you know, is obviously Batman versus Superman, which I think a lot of people have complained. I do feel like I've seen Batman versus Superman. Like, I have to remind myself I actually haven't seen it yet. Like, I feel like going to see it is almost a formality because I actually know the plot already. They've given away so much of that movie,
Without getting too many...
It seems like they've given away so much of the movie. We'll see what happens.
The thing is, they've given up a lot, I think, of the Cap and Tony arc.
But
we haven't seen anything of the villains.
Black Panther's going to be in it.
We haven't seen anything Black Panther.
Yeah, I don't really have a sense of what the shape of the movie is going to be, like, to be honest, which is great. Like, that's what
this is without getting into spoilers. There are villains in it. There are bad guys in it. We haven't, other than quick shots of Crossbones, we haven't seen anything yet.
Right.
Also, you know, how close is it going to be to the comics? Like, is it going to be a fucking blueprint? Are they going to go off the books? Punisher's not going to be in it, so it can't be fucking that close.
Jesus Christ.
It already seems pretty, I mean, it's pretty different as Star.
You're talking
it's
about
just like different characters. It's a different thing they're fighting over too, right?
Yeah. Well,
sort
it's
of.
Similar. It's still the same ideological
divide. Right, I guess so.
But you're talking about the ending, right?
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to go for it?
How could they not?
I don't know that I've actually read the Civil War, and I don't know the ending. And I don't know that I want you to tell me.
Okay.
Man, major comic book crossovers are really difficult to read. It is so
big. Yeah, but Civil War was like
it's a big one. It's a big one.
It's a big one, but
when Civil War happened in the comics, like, it was a discussion.
Yeah.
Like, people were fucking really talking about it in the comic book shops. Like, it was like, whose side are you on? Whose side?
Like, I'm sure it's good. I'd like to read it. But, like, those crossovers are just difficult to keep up with. Like, they're just difficult to collect and, like,
well,
read.
Right now, actually, Marvel, in advance of Captain America Civil War, is releasing a bunch of collections. I think there's 30 or 40 collections of all the various minis and everything. You should be able to catch up.
Yeah,
really
exactly,
easily.
Exactly. Like, I guess if you gave me, like, a Civil War omnibus, I would sit down and read it. I'd like to catch up.
There's, like,
it
would be this bunch big of Civil War trades. It's not that big, actually.
Yeah, that's true. Real quick, before we run out of time, and we almost have, they announced this earlier today, there's going to be a new Indiana Jones movie.
Blech.
Indiana Jones 5. Yeah. What?
I'm just so surprised that that's what you went with.
What do you mean?
Usually you're a dick and you're like, oh, I'm going to see Superman, Batman on Monday. Like, you.
Well, that's true. I am going to see Batman.
Yeah.
Wait, you've seen it or you're going to see it on Monday?
Going to see it on Monday.
Okay.
Special screening because he has to be up front in front of everybody.
That's fine. I mean, it's cool because I actually am more relaxed since I've done this show because I just realized Daredevil season 2 had different showrunners, and I was like, what if it's not as good? And I was legitimately actually anxious about that. So to hear it's good from Alex has actually, I'm not making this up, I actually feel more relaxed.
Oh, good.
So that's why.
The opposite. I'm
right in the middle.
So you go
see.
Myself. But Indiana Jones, I made a black noise, and I kind of want to walk it back. I mean, it's obviously no one likes the last one, so it's, you know, you got to temper your enthusiasm a little. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know what I realize is that, like, I'm the problem because, like, there's no way I don't go see Indiana Jones 5.
Yeah,
even when it's terrible, even when it comes out.
It's still Indiana Jones.
And the reviews are terrible and I know it's going to be bad. There's no way they're not getting my money. And so I'm the problem and I'm fully aware of that and I can't help myself. I'm going to go see the terrible Indiana Jones movie.
You don't know if it's terrible. This could be.
Yeah, you know, the thing about this. Well, one is that I kind of think Harrison Ford's presence in a movie has sort of ceased to be a positive for me.
Can I say something that everybody will hate?
Yeah.
I didn't think he was that great in Force Awakens.
I look, Harrison Ford is an Harrison Ford's an icon. Han Solo, American Graffiti, Indiana Jones. Harrison Ford's great. And in all those movies. But
what,
like,
the fuck did you just fucking say?
Have you guys seen Cowboys vs. Aliens or Hollywood Homicide, which I'm reaching back a little there.
I said I didn't think he was that great in Force Awakens.
What else was he in recently?
I can't even.
Wasn't he in another big franchise movie besides Force Awakens recently?
Ender's Game.
He's bad in Ender's Game, too. So I've sort of don't feel anymore like I'm excited to see. I didn't think he was that. I mean, it's hard to separate out his performance from, like, all the emotion, you experienced, because I only saw it that one time in theaters, you know?
I recently saw it in 3D on a boat.
So that's the way that it was meant to be seen.
Yeah, that's how George Lucas intended it.
It just, I don't know. He's, like, not a very charismatic performer these days, I would say, in his last few movies. I might accept The Force Awakens from that, but.
I enjoyed him. But I didn't think he was that great.
You're a fucking piece of shit.
But the thing about that movie is it is a Steven Spielberg movie. And, you know, Crystal Skull is probably Spielberg's worst movie. Someone might be able to pull out another one.
I haven't seen Bridge of Spies yet.
Oh, I like Bridge. I saw it recently. Yeah, that was pretty good. It's definitely better than Crystal Skull, I'll tell you that.
AI? What about AI?
I think Crystal Skull is worse than AI. I don't like AI, but it's, like, ambitious and there's some cool parts,
sure,
you know? So I'd put it above the Crystal Skull level. I think we might have to go back to 1941, I think, is that comedy he made. That movie's not supposed to be good.
That's a weird movie.
Anyway, Spielberg is, this is controversial, a very talented film director. And
shut up!
So, like, even though the last Indiana Jones didn't work out so good, like, I feel like you could never totally count out a Spielberg movie. And I thought Bridge of Spies was great. I actually watched it recently, and, like, Spielberg makes great movies, so I'll go see that.
I mean, I'm nervous about it, but at the same time, like, I'm definitely going to go see it just because, I mean, Indiana Jones, like, when I was a kid and when it first came out, I was just like, holy shit, this is the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen.
I'm trying to think of a franchise extension that I wouldn't see. Like, I didn't see The Hobbit. I didn't see any. I saw zero for three Hobbit movies.
I didn't see the last one. I just realized that.
That's even worse because you were set. You, like, should theoretically want to complete the saga. Yeah. So that's actually even worse.
Wasn't interested.
Or just it's more, not worse. It's just, like, damning of the films.
I saw the second one in whatever the format is called, HDR,
the high frame rate one.
High frame rate. It made my eyes hurt so much.
Yeah, I heard that a lot.
I felt so horrible after seeing that movie. I had no interest in seeing the third
movie. Just keep making this shit, Hollywood. I don't know what to tell you. I'll keep seeing it. Yeah. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry, Earth, but that's just where I'm at right now.
Still in complete shock of what you just fucking said, man.
That what? Yeah. That Harrison Ford's no good in Force Awakens?
Yeah, I didn't say he was no good. I just said he wasn't great.
That's not what you said. You said he was like...
I said he was a piece of shit.
He like brings so... like just by reprising Han Solo, yeah, that like brings so much energy that he doesn't even have to be good, you know? Yeah. Like, and I don't think he maybe
there
was
so many fucking great moments in that he had. I mean,
yeah,
Jesus
he's pretty
Christ.
Good. When he says that's not how the Force works, that's a very, that's a great line. That's like a real laugh line.
That is
line.
A great line. And when he says, oh, you're cold?
Yeah. I'm ruining the movie through my head. He's got some
he's
good...
Like, you know, he loves the crossbow that you had. Well, you got to, I mean...
And it actually struck me watching that movie that it did seem like it was the most fun I've seen Harrison Ford have on screen in a long time.
That's
you know, I definitely remember that. Thank you.
Cool. Can't wait to see him in the next one. All right, real quick before we go. Walking Dead, all new. How'd you feel about Carol and Maggie's big adventure?
Yeah, I was disappointed in it very much because I was like... Like the character, I was like, who the fuck is Carol? We know her as this badass. We've seen her do so much amazing stuff. To then see her be so meek and weird for so long of the episode, it seriously made me angry because I was like, all right, this is an act. And then afterwards, when she was like, no, it wasn't.
Well, I think what's really interesting that we're getting this season, have you been watching Walking Dead at all?
I do not watch The Walking Dead.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's right. That's all right.
I'll just quietly read Headlopper in the corner for a bit.
Okay,
that's
nice.
A good read.
What I think is really interesting, we've seen this time jump for the first half of the season to the second half of the season, right. Or I guess the first episode to the next half of the season. And everybody is dealing with the fact that, oh, we are now living in Alexandria. We may actually have a life ahead of us instead of just killing. And to see Carol go through that in particular, I think is really fascinating because she is the person that of all of them, other than Rick maybe, has been so definite about killing whoever you need to survive is the only way out of this. And now she has a guy who is nice, who is interested in her. She has a neighborhood that she's living in, and she's starting to
feel... She makes cookies.
Yeah.
And everybody loves her.
I know.
Fuck, that's not my Carol, though. My Carol is the psycho who took down a fucking whole group of people from the outside.
She'll get back there. But this is always the essential conflict of The Walking Dead, right? Is... Can you be a decent human being and live in this world at the same time?
But it was like, part of me was like, oh, you don't know. You don't know who you got locked up in there. You got fucking Carol. She's going to murder all of you.
Well, then she did.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but it was just like.
But she felt a little bad about
it. And I was like, why are you pausing?
Yeah.
This is life and death here.
Yeah, I just felt bad. Poor Alicia Witt. We just met her. Special guest star Alicia Witt.
Really?
Yeah, I like her. I wanted to see more of her.
Really?
Yeah.
We just liked the way she talked to the walkie.
Yeah, one time I saw her on the street and I chased after her for like 3 blocks.
God bless you.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right, that's it for the Week of Geek. Yeah. All right, let's turn it over to Pete for trivia.
All right, guys. This is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free dollars. Who would like a chance to win a $25 free dollars? Yes, you, sir. First hand up, guy.
Yeah, coming up.
Come on up. Here, take that
microphone.
All right, so big news for me. The animated movie Batman the Killing Joke has been confirmed. I'm very excited. So that's what the trivia is on. So you listen to the question, listen to all three possible answers, get three questions right, $25 yours. All right, Nick, are you ready?
Yes.
Great. All right. Who will be the voice of Batman? Is it A, Kevin Conroy, B, Will Arnett, or is it C, Fire Marshal Bill? So it's either A, which is the correct answer, or it's B, and it's definitely not C.
I think it's A.
A is correct. Nice job. Here we go. Who will play the voice of the Joker? Is it A, John DiMaggio, B, Mark Hamill, or is it C, Homie the Clown? So it's either A or it's B, which would be much more interesting and better if Mark Hamill played the Joker. Don't you agree?
I definitely agree, so I'm going to go with B.
Yeah! Nice job. Last question. The premiere of this amazing movie that I can't wait to see will be at this year's blank. Is it A, San Diego Comic-Con, B, the anniversary of Batman the Animated Series, or is it C, Men on Films? So it's either A, the San Diego Comic-Con, or it's B, the anniversary of the Batman Animated Series.
I think it's, given the emphasis, A?
Yeah, nice job! That's right. At this year's San Diego Comic-Con, this premieres, and I cannot wait. We get to see it if you're not at the con this summer.
All right, very cool. That is also in the context.
Yeah, so
there you go. I'll do any Batman thing with Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill.
Right.
Any medium, any length, I'm in.
Yeah.
That's all you need. Get those two, I'll do it.
I was so happy because, you know, there's a lot of talk that they're too old to play the characters, which I think is bullshit. Because once you have animation, I'm not really paying attention to, oh, that voice seems a little too old. Because to me, it's like, that's the voice of Batman.
Totally. I thought they were great, as we discussed last time I was on the show, in Arkham Knight. I thought they really made that last video game. So
we actually haven't had a show since the last time you've been on. So cool. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Power Man and Iron Fist, number two. Cannot wait. First issue was amazing. Kind of reluctantly get the team back together. And I say reluctantly because one person was into it, the other not. So I'll be interested to see what happens going forward and how they keep the team together because the art's amazing, the writing's hilarious. It's a great
It's really fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Star Trek Starfleet Academy number 4 is coming out. I know I talk about this a lot on the show, but IDW's Star Trek comics are great.
Oh, man.
They're really good.
Love it. You're speaking my I don't know them, but you're
really,
making
really
me very interested.
So this one in particular is fascinating. It's a miniseries showing before the Star Trek 2009 movie when Kirk and Uhura and everybody else are at Starfleet Academy. They're investigating this mystery that happened at the beginning of the Academy. And then years further into the future, a new class of Starfleet Academy students end up embroiled in the same mystery. Mm. It's great. It's
really
fun.
It takes place in the new movie universe?
It does.
Fuck that.
They're really good. You should check it out.
I'm watching Deep Space Nine for the first time right now. It is so fucking good. Can I make that my recommendation? I will go with an actual comic book recommendation, which I said I don't read a lot of comics, which is true. But one thing I have picked up on and really enjoyed is Rat Queens and the new issue comes out tomorrow. So I'm going to make that my recommendation.
Can I make a little go to bat for the Star Trek comics for you?
Yeah, I actually don't have that strong opinion. So
the regular Star Trek comic is remaking the original series with the 2009 crew. So putting through the lens of that, hold on. They did a series of 5 issues called the Q Gambit, where Q makes a challenge to Picard. He's like, tell you what, I'm going to change the past. And it ends up working into bringing the next generation crew back to the 2009 Star Trek movie crew, and they end up in this alternate universe where they're fighting the Dominion War. They end up fighting the Mirror Universe. It's the most complicated, ridiculous,
that sounds like Star Trek.
Nerdy thing
I read
ever.
The Star Trek X-Men comic crossover, and there's a great moment where someone says Dr. McCoy, and both Beast and McCoy from Star Trek turn around. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I'll tell you one more thing.
That's
just
worth
while
it
we're
just
talking
for that
about
right
it.
There.
That's
we
pretty much the
Green
only
Lantern
part.
Earlier. There was a crossover between the Star Trek comics and Green Lantern,
oh.
where an alternate universe Green Lantern and all the various colors ended up in the Star Trek universe. Hold on, this is the craziest thing ever. So at the end of the series, Hal Jordan is still on the Star Trek Enterprise. He's like, I'll just hang out here. And meanwhile, Scotty has reverse engineered Green Lantern rigs. So they're training a group of white lanterns on Earth. So these, I should mention, all take place in the actual continuity of the Star Trek movies.
Let's extend the show an hour and keep talking about Star Trek.
it's bananas. Anyway, I could talk about this forever. It's great. I love it. Plug your stuff before you go.
The Jeff Rubin Show. Please check it out.
All right,
fun interviews you didn't know you wanted to hear.
Excellent. Next week on the show, Rich Dweck, who is the writer of IDW's Gutter Magic, which is a great, great series you definitely should be picking up. If you're not, I know I sound like an IDW shill now, but
yeah,
they're putting out some really good stuff. And they give me a nickel every time I say a good thing about the book. So there you go.
Where do you get the side fucking secret money, you piece of shit?
It's just nickels.
Why won't you share?
I'm going to be listening because I want to hear what Pete thinks of Daredevil Punisher. And we're only 7 days away from that. I'm excited about that.
It'll be pretty cool. So definitely check us out next week. Also, if you want to donate a little bit of money towards the show, it's free to listen to. It's free to come see here in New York City. But it does cost us money to make. So check it out at GoFundMe.com/ComicBookClubLive. Or if you're in New York, please drop a little money in the hat.
A little what in the hat?
It was a British thing. Okay. Cool. Pete, what else?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Check us out at Comic Book Club Live, at Comic Book Live on Twitter. Comic Book, Justin usually says it, so it totally messed me up. ComicBookClubLive.com, Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tamer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Tran. We want to thank Jeff for being on the show.
Yeah, Jeff.
We want to thank our all-star booth band.
All-star booth band!
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7:30 in New York. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night!
Thanks so much, everybody.